Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Two verses, very powerful verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, according as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, be continually working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is the one who is energizing. The word working is energeo in a participial form. God is the one who is energizing in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 12 is what people like to take out of context, but we like to put it in context this morning as well as draw out of the passage for us today. Remember the book of Philippians, the theme is fellowship, our participation together. In verses 1 through 11 of this chapter was the principles of fellowship. We ended off by studying the illustration of Jesus, who is our example. He is the one who, by coming from glory to us, actually entered into, and it was his humiliation, not his humbling, but his humiliation. It was humiliating for God to take on human form. It's humiliating for God to become a slave and a servant and not a worldly king. It was a humiliation to God to even submit himself to the death, and that even the death of the cross, which was the most shameful death publicly that they could die. So if God suffered humiliation, and the text says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, let this mindset, let this frame of mind, let this attitude, this perspective, this approach to life be the same in you as is in Christ Jesus. It shows me that the spiritually successful fellowship that I have with other believers is going to come when I'm willing to take the low road, when I'm willing to suffer whatever humiliation it takes to be under them and to sacrifice the time and the effort as we submit to the Spirit of God. For their ministry and for their fellowship, rather than me demanding my own rights, or in the church as it is today, demanding my own way. Jesus didn't come demanding his own way. He suffered the humiliation. So the principles of fellowship, verses 1 through 11, but now we have the process of fellowship. This process of participation and fellowship together comes through a process. And he says, so then, based on verses 1 through 11, so then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more now in my absence, then he gives the command, be continually working out your own salvation. So first he commends them by saying that not only are they obedient to the truth of God's word and the truths of Christ when he's there, but also when he's absent from them. They have a readiness to seek out, to find out, and to do what God wants them to do. So he commends them, which is what sets up the command in verse 12, that you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Therefore, he gives them the command, be continually working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. First of all, the verb form of the command shows that it is to be a continuous thing. It is to be, it's presented as the top priority of the believer's life. That once Christ has come into our heart and has saved us, from that time forward, we are continually allowing our salvation to be worked out. Just like we are sanctified and set apart the moment that God's Spirit comes into our spirit, but it's a lifetime process of walking in that sanctification, learning to walk in it rather than in our own way. So God has saved us completely. We are saved. But there is a working out process where that salvation continues to work in us. It's our own salvation. It's not someone else's salvation. No one else can do it for us. It is our own salvation, and is to be accompanied by fear and trembling. Same duo of words that Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. He said, I did not come to you with man's wisdom and confidence, but I came to you with fear and trembling. I always know when I have a healthy approach to life and to the things of Christ, when I don't take him for granted and there is a fear and there is a trembling. In the first hour, remember, we heard Isaiah say that you have forgotten your God. You don't remember the rock. So you've completely forgotten him. When I can walk in the flesh, in the human, boldly through this life, or through this circumstance, or through this day, without a concern that Satan is going to get me off path, then there's something wrong. Today, when today is over, you'll never be able to get it back. Gone forever. The opportunities that God gives us, they're gone for today. That's why Paul says in Romans, redeem the time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Your salvation is drawing near. That's the coming of Christ. So not only have I been purchased, my time has been purchased, and God has appointed that time and designed that time for his salvation to be worked out in me. I am saved, completely saved. But now the salvation that I have is working out in me, healing, mending, transforming the effects of sin in my life. But people use this command to show that, see, there's something that we are to do. We are to work it out. That's whose command is given to. You continually be working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But the next verse begins with the word for. Not the number four. But in Greek as well as in English, it is a word of explanation. In other words, he's just gave the command and now he's going to explain it. So we've had the commendation. We've had the command for the priority to be the working out of our salvation. And now we have the course of action. course of action. For God is the one who is working or energizing in you. So I am to work out my own salvation, but God is the one who's doing the work. He's energizing. Continually, actively producing. I love those three words that describe the presence and activity of God's Spirit in a believer's life. Continually, actively producing. He never stops. God's Spirit never goes dormant. What He is doing in my life is not always evident in the human, in my circumstances, or even to me in the human. I don't notice things. But God is the one, and it's a present participle, who is continually energizing in me. So I am to be, the priority is for me to be to make the working out of my salvation my top priority, and to do it with fear and trembling. I might lose the opportunity. I might lose the moment. I might make the wrong decisions that would take me away from that learning process, and yet I enter into another learning process once I do that, of how to make decisions that accompany Him working out His salvation in us. But God is the one who is energizing, who is continually, actively producing in my life. Here's what He's working out, both to will and to do on behalf of His good pleasure. He's working in my life according to His will. And the word do is, the word energy. But His will and His energy is doing that which pleases Him. He's working out His will in my life. And I'm to be sensitive to that and attentive to that. That when I wake up in the morning, get ready to do whatever I have to do for the day, I got my schedule. That's not really what life's all about. It's about me going out and looking for the Lord to be working out His salvation in my life, in restoration, in healing, in transformation, in change. See, once we receive Christ, that's not the finish line, that's the starting line. In the Bible, it uses all three tenses for salvation. We were saved, past tense. Perfect tense, we have been saved. And we have future tense, where Christ is coming and because of our salvation. So by receiving Christ, I am saved. I belong to Him. I'm going to heaven, however you want to look at it. But that salvation process is a work. By being saved, it means that now I belong to Christ, but I need to be changed. And now that salvation is working out in me its very purpose. God has deposited His Spirit. And now His Spirit works from within to transform and renew my mind. Again, to heal the abuses and the experiences of sin of the past life, and to renew it with the perspective and view of Christ and the perceptions of Christ. So he's saying here that God is the one who is working in you. My work is to make it a priority. He is the one who does the work. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, Paul says, if God is working by his grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. See, grace can't be works. Works can't produce grace. Then it's no more grace. But if it is of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix the two. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul told the believers in Galatia who were being put under the law by some Judaizers that had come into town, being told that now that they're saved, they have to keep the law. He says, the same way you received Christ, so walk in him. How did you receive him? By faith or by the workings of the law? It was by faith. Then walk in him the same way. It's not different. So when God saves us by his grace, it doesn't change from grace to works. Now that you're saved, here's what you have to do for God. No, I can't produce spiritual things. I'm a human being. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, if God saves me by his grace and then I do works for him, then I can boast. And Paul says in another place in Romans, that chapter 4, that if you can boast, if you can do works, then God is owing to us. That's never happened. God is indebted to us. Look what I did. So where's the reward? Where's the payment? Where's the grace that I earned for this? Then it's out of debt, not out of grace. So when this all this life is over, when we stand before the Lord, the only boasting we can give is boast in Christ. It's nothing we have done. One of my favorites, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Paul says he labored more abundantly than they all. But then he goes on to say, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I labored, but I didn't do it. It was God's grace. Again, speaking of the grace that's energizing in him. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. He says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The word good is the word agathos, spiritual work, spiritual good. God's spiritual work. The promise in Scripture is that God will give us grace, and his grace will be sufficient for everything that he wants us to do, because he will do it. Same sufficiency that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he prayed to be delivered from the thorn in the flesh. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, God says, is made perfect in weakness. God's grace, he said, Paul, God was saying to Paul, I don't need to remove the thorn in the flesh. I don't need to change your circumstances. Because my grace is sufficient for every situation that you're in. Sufficient. We don't like it. We're inconvenienced. Sometimes we're in pain. But God's grace is sufficient no matter what it is. And that's what he says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. God gives grace to be sufficient for all things that he would have us to do and to be. So it is God who is energizing in us, both to will and to do on behalf of his good pleasure. God is the one who fulfills his will in us. His energy is what fulfills his will. He does what is according to his good pleasure. I can remember once, not recently, but quite a few years ago, I was struggling as a young believer. And my friend told me that this woman does counseling and that they would go with me. I said, fine. So I went. Oh, I'm telling her all the difficulties I have. Tried to sing the song for her. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody. She asked me a question after I got through telling her all of my difficulties, which no human being has ever suffered before in the history of mankind. She says, well, you're going to have to do a few things. There's repentance, there's apology, there's getting your life right with the Lord. There's trusting him, all these factors. And she says it's going to be humiliating for you, but she says, I have a question for you. Are you willing to be made mud for the glory of God? I don't know about that. You know. Are you willing to be made mud for the glory of God? That was a shock to me. It's like, well, sure. And she looked at me and she goes, no, you're not. I gave her the, you know, typical, sure, anything for, no. Because you wouldn't be in the situation you're in if that's true. So in order for that to be corrected, in order for God to bring about a healing, in order for God to bring about, to put you back on the path that you're supposed to be, are you willing to be made mud for the glory of God? He works up, in other words, am I willing for his will to be worked out in my life the way he designs it to be? Not only for what he wants to use me for and what he wants me to do, but when he goes to correct me and convict me and work in my life to discipline me as a father would a child, am I willing to allow his discipline to take place in my life? And most of the time, we don't know how he's going to do it. Sometimes we prefer it to be done a certain way, which is why he never does it that way. These are powerful verses, but it's not talking about get to work and work out your own salvation, but rather submit to, make God's salvation process in your life after he has saved you and you belong to him by the presence of his Spirit in your life, then submit to his process of his salvation being worked out in your life. And you see, in explanation, it's he's the one that's working. He's energizing continuously, actively producing, never stops. Humanly, I might not see it. You might not see it at times. But he's always working. He's always healing and changing and transforming. He's always doing something. And Paul says, this is the process that fellowship has together. And as we come together as individuals, this process is happening in each of us as individuals when we come together and participate in fellowship together. That is also part of the salvation process that's being worked out. Here's the good news for the Christian. Not only do I have to put up with myself all day, every day, but then when I go to fellowship, there's others. You know what I mean by others? I mean other human beings, like me. Wow. That's another area where God works out his salvation. In fellowship together as other believers. As he's working in our lives, he brings us to that humbleness so that we can fellowship together. It's what it takes. Or else we won't make it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you again for your love, for your provision. We thank you that from the encouragement of your word that we are to make the working out of our salvation our top priority. Submitting to and following the lead of your spirit because you are the one who is working in us to will and to energize on behalf of your good pleasure, what pleases you. So we pray by your Spirit you would give us understanding. You would help us to realize that salvation takes place at the point that we receive Christ, but that salvation is not the finish line, it's the starting line. As now that salvation begins to work itself out in us, changing and transforming us from the inside. And we are to make that the top priority in life. All of the things, including the day in which we live today, will fade away and become history and will be no more. But the work of Christ is what lasts forever. We pray by your Spirit you would teach us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.